Check. I just wanted to say thank you for your prayers. I'm feeling better. I'm not to where I can teach a class yet because I'll fall into coughing fits. So I've asked whoever's preaching to do the class as well. That way we can catch up on our missions work. Tim's got some exciting stuff going on with local missions, so we're going to hear from that today. So probably February is when I'll start my class again. So thank you, Tim.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Yep.
All right. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. How's everyone doing? That's really not convincing. Not in the least. How's everybody doing this morning? Come on. Today's the day the Lord has made. Today we're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. I've got some kind of reverb echo thing going on. We can get that.
Put it closer to your mouth.
Closer to the mouth? Okay, let's try that. Is that better? No? Okay, how about that? Is that better? Everybody hearing me okay? Okay, awesome. So, man, it feels like it has been a really long time since I've had a conversation with my peoples. I'm really glad to be here with you guys. I'm excited. I get giddy. Try not to let the rocket ship take off too much because I get too excited about some of the things we talk about. But how are you this morning? Good. Destiny? Back there? Good? Okay, and you said blessed. I love that word. Oh my gosh, that's a good word. Got some faces, some new faces in here. How you doing, brother? Good. Caleb, come on in, my friend. Have a seat. How are the Whitefields over here? Good, Josh. What's up, man? I saw you at the pizza shop the other day. I was spying on you the whole time. You were being a good boy. It was really good. Pex, how are you?
Okay.
Feeling good? Okay. Excellent. Excellent. I want to take a little time. We're going to go to the Father, spend a little time with Him. And what is on your heart to pray for this morning? What do you want to talk to the Father about this morning? Okay. What's up? We're gonna do something a little different, by the way. Go ahead, Pam. Yeah, I don't think it's on. I think there's a button on the bottom. You just push it.
I want to lift up the ones that's in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Yes. The fires.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
The fires.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Los Angeles knows the struggling. Last count, there was like 18 dead.
18?
So
yeah.
And, guys, I've seen pictures of the fire and it's horrible.
Absolutely horrible.
Yes. So I want to lift up them today.
Okay. What's happening in Los Angeles is unprecedented. It's horrible. Who feels led to pray for that right now? Not right this moment. Not, okay, you feel led, but I want someone else. Okay, Miss Kim, would you come and sit with Pam for a moment?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else has a prayer need? Max.
Oh, we've got a prayer report.
Prayer report, I like those too. Oh, yeah.
The holidays, it was amazing. But I must say that our funds are depleted from the Christmas deal.
Okay.
We blessed a whole lot of kids.
Amen.
And I want to thank everybody for that. That was such a blessing. So
good.
If anyone wants to donate to the net, we still got people out there that need things. And it doesn't have to be money.
Okay.
We'll take anything God.
Yeah, it's like I've learned over the years in ministry. Yeah, I won't say no. You know, I won't say no. Is someone in here present that has been blessed by the Net Ministry in some way, shape, or form? Destiny and Todd, I'm sorry, Todd Marlin, that's right. Will you two go sit with Max for a moment? Does anybody else have a prayer request? Something on your heart you want to pray for?
Are you going to read the Bless App prayer today by chance?
I hadn't planned on it, but if you want to.
May I now?
You may now if you want to. Let the Spirit flow.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Some of us have been praying through the Bless app. It used to be called, what was it called? Something else before, Rick, do you remember?
Bless Each Home.
Yeah. Matt Stidham, when he was here, he got us started. But they keep improving, and they have an app, Bless, and Tim will be telling us about it. And churches throughout the community are trying to gather and work together. But anyway, I just love it. They assign neighbors, someone in your neighborhood, to pray for by name. Mm-hmm. And you can choose how many days a week you want to receive and what time you want to receive notifications. But they send us a prayer, and this is today's prayer. Father, thank you for teaching us to live with humility, gentleness, and love. Following the example of Christ, I ask that you transform my neighbors, allowing them to experience the peace that comes from walking in your ways. Help me reflect these qualities in every interaction, building meaningful relationships rooted in your love. May they be inspired to embrace this same humility and grace, discovering the beauty of living in your peace. Let our community grow closer through your Spirit. And the guiding scripture is Colossians 3, 12 through 13.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Any other prayer requests, prayer needs, something on your heart you want to pray for, something you want to give thanks for? Yes. With the fires?
No, Kasirian in
oh.
Nairobi.
Oh, okay.
There's a water issue there.
Okay. Who has a heart for that mission over in Kenya? Who really has a heart for that mission? Right there. Okay. Would you come up and would you have a seat over here? By the way, this is Jimmy if you hadn't met him. Have you met Jimmy? Yeah, Jimmy's a good guy. Good guy. Anybody else? All right. So what I want to do is take a minute, and for the ones where you sat, I want you to pray with them. Pray for their request. You're the one that God moved to pray for it, right? Back there, the Net Ministry, you see the fruit of your labor sitting with you right now. Let them pray for you to continue moving forward. Same thing with the fires. You had a heart to pray for that. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a few moments of silence, and we're going to let them pray, and we're going to lift them up in prayer as they pray for these prayer requests. Amen? So let's pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord says, be still and know that I'm God. Have you ever noticed sometimes when you're at church and everybody kind of has their own certain expectations of how things should go, and then you have something like a long, quiet silence, and sometimes people get a little antsy on the inside. Oh, what is this? Well, we need to wrap this up. We need to get to something else. What's going on? You know what that was? Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And felt the presence of the Spirit around that. That was beautiful. Thank you guys for your prayers. You can go back to your seats if you want to. If you made a new friend, have a seat. Stay there. I want to take you back to a time that pretty much everybody in this room remembers. Caleb, would you sit up for me, please, buddy? Caleb, sit up for me, buddy. 2001. I was brand new married, man. That honey was still all on the moon at that time. I was with my wife. We had just gotten married in May. It was September 2001. And we were living in a little two-bedroom apartment. We were just talking the other day because, you know, never mind, I'm going to go there. We were talking the other day about getting started with life. And we were talking about how much we were paying for rent. It was like $640, $645, $675, something like that. It was so affordable, right? And all we had at the time were a TV. It's a TV, color TV that I inherited as a teenager. It was my gaming TV. It was sitting on the floor because I had nothing to put it on. Later on, I was able to graduate to a box. We had two of those TV dinner trays that were donated to us, and I bought two lawn chairs, baby. And that was our living room. But I remember one morning, I was getting up, I was getting ready to go to work. And I went over to that little TV and I turned on the news. And you all know what I saw. It was about 9 or so in the morning. It was those twin towers that were up in the air, and you saw one of them smoking. And I remember watching, and I didn't realize it was live because, you know, you saw that other plane come in. And you were probably like me. You saw the other plane come in, and my immediate thought was they're playing a replay. But then a split second later, I was like, wait, but there's smoke. This is not, oh, it's live. And then I watched as that plane hit that second tower. I've been thinking a lot about that this week. Let me ask you a question. How many people died in that? Do you remember? It was like 3,000 or something like that. Do you think any of those people that showed up that day were Christians? Huh? Yeah? Do you think that there were people that woke up that day and they were just living their life as usual? They were thinking, you know, tomorrow was like yesterday, or, you know, tomorrow's going to be just like yesterday, right? I'm going to get up, going to put my shoes on, go down there, going to do my job, make some money. I got my plans. I'm going on vacation in just a few months. Going to get married in about 7 months. I got all this money. I'm so excited. I'm saving up for this game. So, like, do you feel like that there were people that day that were just absolutely, completely caught off guard and faced with the fact that their mortality was in front of them and they were going to die? Do you think they were shocked? Yeah, there was a lot of people that were shocked that morning. Did y'all hear about the miracle stories? Y'all heard those, right? How that there were some people, there were ones that just certain things would happen, and it would prevented them to go. And there was, I've even heard people had a couple dreams that said, do not go to work the next day. Some obeyed, some didn't, but the ones who obeyed, they're still alive today. Do you think that there were Christians who showed up that day and they were right with the Lord? They had their priorities straight. They understood who they were in Christ. They understood the mission. They understood at any moment, because they'd have been living their life for Christ. They were living ready at any moment, no matter what life faced with them. When they were faced with that tragedy, what do you think they did? They had faith, right? They accepted the fact that it was their time to go. How is it that some people, some Christians, can walk through life's struggles, calamities, like about the fires that we just prayed about, right? How is it that some people can walk through the fires with peace and calm, but others can't? Holy Spirit. Okay. What else? Comforter and counselor. Okay. Tiffany?
Because God's already, and they have for the, well, two things. Personal relationship.
You want to use the microphone? Do you want to use the mic?
Oh, I didn't know where it was.
Yeah, it's right there.
Okay, the question is, how can you have peace?
Yeah, how do you have peace in the midst of stuff like 9/11 or stuff like the LA fires and... How does
that
work?
Well, there's two things that are on my heart. One is that when you have relationship with him and you're walking with him on a daily basis, then you're already building that trust. Mm. And the other thing is that many times we've already been through things and the Lord has brought us through as the provider, as the healer, as the... whatever that need is that we have, he's already brought us through those troubles, and so we remember that and we hold on to that.
It's good. Somebody else want to add anything? Because I know in this room, with as much wisdom and much people who walk with the Lord in this room, I know there's people who have been through some things. Like what I'm saying right now is not theory to you. Right? You've been through fires. You've been through things. So what I'm asking you is, how do you have peace in the midst of the storm? For you, I want to know. Okay, Max, will you share?
Whenever Augustine passed, that devastated my mind, my heart, for days. And I remember, why? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the peace came in whenever I started realizing that Christ is within his life. And, you know, as long as you got Christ in your life, that's where the peace comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's from him. Because without it, we can't go through all this stuff.
It's too hard, isn't it?
Mind.
Yeah. Okay, so I think you just said something that kind of, yeah, I think that's it, right? So it's a choice. It's not an emotion, is it? Because if you allow your emotions to dictate whether you're okay or not in the midst of a circumstance that you don't want to be in, then you're just going to ride that roller coaster right on in. But at some point in your experience, when you lost Augustine and you were angry, there was a moment that came to you where you started to remember what was true and not what was your emotions. Because what's true is Christ. What's true is what he did on the cross. What's true is the shed blood of our Messiah, who covers every single one of our sins, who gives us the promise of the regeneration and the new birth and the new heavens. And so when we have that eternal perspective and it's settled on the inside of us, the book of Hebrews says it is a hope that is anchored beyond the veil. That's a picture of the Holy of Holies. It's anchored there. And it's tethered here. And so the idea is that it doesn't matter what's going to happen here, because if our body is destroyed, if we go through circumstances and even to the point of death, in view of the cross, death has no meaning whatsoever. Which is why Paul says to the Christian, death is like just going to sleep. It ain't nothing for God. Wake up. That's all it is. Pam, you had a thought?
Yes. I just remembered something. I remember a child after I started walking with the Lord, not very long afterwards, that my daughter and her ex-living roommate, which is her former boyfriend, they were arguing. And just for all of a sudden, I had this thought, I choose peace. I would not like this to affect me, because normally when they would fight and argue, it bothered me bad because I wanted peace in my home. I wanted my daughter to feel happiness, you know, instead of always having so much stress on her, you know. And for that one day, I had peace because I chose peace.
Amen.
I said, I will not let this affect me. I choose peace. And that was me making a choice of not allowing that to affect me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for one day. But it helped a lot. So that was my choice, you know, because usually I would let it affect me and bring me down. But that day I said, no, I choose peace.
Okay. Perfect. You have a thought? Yeah, if you would, please. Pam, I'll make a comment on yours in just a moment.
Just as she was talking, I was thinking about how when we choose peace, because we're the light of the world, right? So when we choose peace, when we speak that, it changes the atmosphere around us. Like we have peace for ourselves, but we are also giving peace to others, because as we have peace, they see our peace.
Yeah.
And then they have peace too. Like when you talk to a child and you're saying, you know, like to Camden, you don't need to be afraid. This is what God's word says. But when you can say something, but when you take, when they see it in you,
right,
then that's a lot of times when they also will have peace. So not only can we have peace, but we can change our environment. We can change the atmosphere in our home or those that we're around by choosing peace ourselves.
So, oh, Colby, go ahead, buddy. Over, hello there, Sarah. Hello there. Let's who had first? Sarah, let Sarah go ladies first, and then we'll let the gentleman go. Oh, come on.
Because you're facing tragedy, a fight, you know, being engulfed in a falling tower. Like, how can God use what goes against all of our nature, which is to preserve ourselves?
Yeah.
To fight against, you know, we have this innate response to survive and do what's good for me.
Come on. I love that. Thank you so much. That was fantastic. Colby, go ahead.
So the scripture about Peter and Jesus in the storm, I thought about that, and I was like, you know, that happens every day inside of us.
Come on.
And the storm is the chaos, the emotions, and the situation, and we can't control that. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, ourselves, we are above all of that.
Probably shouldn't say this, but that's my boy. That's, amen, hallelujah. That was, yeah, go back to that story for a minute. I love that one. He's walking on the water, right? Peter's standing there, and he's standing on that water. And he doesn't sink, which, I mean, anybody else want to try that one day? Like, if we get to in heaven, like, I would be like to Jesus. Hey, you remember that thing you did with Peter? Huh? I know, only if he's there, right? And that's the point of the story, because Peter's walking on the water, but what's the first thing Peter starts to do? Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Isn't that what we do? And Jesus is standing there just calm, at peace. And then what does he do? He gets him to look him right here. And as long as he stays there in that gaze, focuses on the relationship and the love, the acceptance, and the peace that's right here. Not around here, but right here. He's fine. Guys, that'll preach to your heart. And it reminds me of another story on the water. Same lake. Big old storm. And this time, if you remember, the boat was just going all kinds of crazy. It was cracking apart. And the disciples were scared to death. And they went and they found Jesus. Where was he? He was taking a little cat nap down below. Not a care in the world. Except that the disciples came to him. And what did they say? Oh, they were mad. Well, they were hot. Yeah, don't you care? Don't you see everything that's going on? Don't you know that we're going to die? Don't you care? Have you ever screamed that? Don't you care? But take the perspective of Jesus. Why is he able to sleep like a baby in the midst of that? Ah, maybe it's because he had something with the Father that we struggle to have. Relationship. Maybe it's because when they were in the boat, they were looking at Jesus like the special one. He's the special one. He's got the Holy Spirit. And it don't matter what happens. God ain't going to let nothing happen to him. But we're about to die. We're a step back. We're less than. We're not under his love. We're not under his protection. I must be the stepchild. I'm the ugly black sheep in the family. Am I talking to somebody? It's because we struggle in our minds feeling like we're adopted, we're the stepchild, when in reality we sit at the table as a son or daughter. Amen. And if you sit at the table as a son or daughter, are you ever going to let your son or daughter fall if you can help it? Are you going to let them sink in the water? No, you're not. We have to hold on to that. Because that's truth. Those are not emotions. The waves, the sea, the wind, those are the emotions. But that's not the truth. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to John 14. John 14. Lord, I got 15 minutes. Can't tell how many times I've preached this passage as a pastor. You get called upon to do funerals all the time. And you know, I'm sure several of you have been to funerals before. What's one of the big go-to passages? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. I preached that so many times at funerals until one day it clicked what God was actually saying in the passage. It was something I'd never seen before. And I think it has a lot to do with this conversation about peace. So let's read the passage together and let's just see what the Father reveals to us. And then we'll talk about it as we close. Jesus is telling his disciples. Now remember, he's about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? That's where we are in the story. He's about to be arrested and beaten and flogged. He's going to be crucified. Okay? He's going to be rejected and spit upon, have his beard pulled out, lashes, everything. But even knowing all that's coming, he turns to his disciples and he says, you must not let your heart be troubled. 14 verse 1. You're about to go through some stuff. But he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. And if not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. From now on, you do not know him, or you do know him, excuse me. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I not been among you all this time without you knowing me, Philip? What's he saying there? I am God, right here in front of you. right here looking at you in your face. Come on, Philip. The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is also in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works that you see. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these because I'm going to go to the Father. Whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, a helper, to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of, somebody say it. Come on. He's the Spirit of truth. And the world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him. It doesn't know him. Okay? In other words, there are going to be some people who will understand the Holy Spirit and walk in the Holy Spirit and get it. And there's going to be some people who will not, is what he's saying. Because they don't see him. They don't know him. But you know him because he remains with you. Because Jesus is right there with them, right? And he will be where? He will be in you. That's a promise of the Pentecost, right? The coming of the Holy Spirit for the church. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I love what he says in verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. Now, 9 times out of 10, when we preach funerals, that's the text that we stick to right there, right? Actually, it's not even all that about the Holy Spirit. We never even talk about the Holy Spirit funerals, which I don't understand, but we're going to change that. We always talk about the hope that one day we have these mansions up there, right? And so we have this idea in our heads that while we're here, while we're in the flesh, while we're struggling, while we're going through troubles and pains and trials and tribulations, that we just got to hold on. Got to grit the teeth and be pretty much tossed around by our emotions, right? Is that what he was saying? He's saying, I want you to fix in your minds a hope that there is a heaven. I'm the carpenter. I can't imagine, by the way, he's a carpenter. He's been working on that for 2,000 years. It's going to be a great place, right? But he says, I've been away preparing these things for you, but I won't leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down to you. It's the same Spirit that's in me that's in the Father, just like I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. And here's the promise. We're going to come live in you so you can live in us. Yeah. Oh, my gosh! Which means you and I are being invited to have a relationship with the Trinity. We're being invited into the love relationship that exists in the divine. That's pretty lofty thinking, isn't it? But keep reading with me because it gets even better. Watch this. Verse 19, in a little while, the world is not going to no longer see me, but you will see me. Oh, how? Because I live, you will too. In that day, when that day comes, you will know that I'm in the Father and you are in me and I'm in you. And the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And I will reveal myself to him. And if you're reading the text, if you're listening to Jesus, you should be in your heart going, how? How? Tell me how. I want it. How are you? Because you're leaving, but I don't want to be alone. Jesus, you say you're leaving, but I want you to still be with me. How is that possible? How can I feel that love? How can I know your presence? How can I have that peace? Keep reading. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not the world? Ha-ha. Now, hold on. Stop there. How are you going to reveal yourself to us and not the world? There is a day coming called the day of the Lord where Jesus is going to reveal himself to the world. That's called the book of Revelation. That's what revelation means. It's the revealing of Christ. Jesus says, I'm going to come like lightning shining from the east into the west. There's not a single person on that day that will not see me coming. And when that day comes, he says, every single tongue will confess and every single knee will bow. Because they will see that day and he will be revealed. But before that day comes, for his remnant, for his church, for his body, he says, I'm going to reveal myself to you. How? Keep reading. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him Now I got to read it again. I went too fast. Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, how many people love him this morning? If anybody loves me and keeps my word, my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home where? In and with. By the way, same word in Hebrew. In him, with him. The one who does not love me will not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name. He will teach you all things. And he's going to remind you of everything I've told you. Here it is. You ready? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you peace like the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. I'm going away, but I'm going to come again. I'm going to stop there. I had the first bell. Closing thought. Here it is. You can't weather the storms of life. And you most certainly will not be able to weather the storms that are coming if you have not had Christ and the Father come to make their home in here through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says there is a supernatural peace. It's not a peace that you can mentally say, I choose it today. Jesus says, the peace that I give you is not like the world gives you. Now, the world will try to give you peace in all kinds of crazy ways, right? Financial peace. Save up a whole bunch of money so you can have a good retirement, right? Work really hard on your health. Get super, super healthy. How many times have you seen a super, super, super healthy? Just. How many times have you seen somebody super wealthy and rich just get their money taken or they die? Even our nation. Right? Peace through strength. Right? Maybe. There's a lot of things in this world, if we just are limited to our eyes and our ears and our nose, the thing called the flesh, and we put our hope and trust in those things, we're not going to find peace. But if we know the Father, if we talk to him every day, if he reveals things to us and we know that we're not those stepchildren, that we're sons and daughters that sit at the table and we rest in that and we know these goddesses and these promises, and we hold on to those promises, I don't care if the day of the Lord is near, we'll be able to stand. In fact, we're going to be able to stand even better because we know that, guess what? This whole thing's about over, and we get to go home and be with him. Amen. That's called faith. So as I close, there's a big difference between feelings and faith. And I'm asking you as a pastor to our people, let's choose faith. Amen? Brother David, would you close us with a prayer? And I think you had a thought you were going to share. Did you?
Well, yeah, I was actually did.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah, here.
My thought was just that the roller coaster that we ride of feelings is definitely going to make us feel sometimes I'm on fire for God, sometimes where is God? But the peace that you're talking about is different. It's the foundation. It's Jesus. So hang on to that. Father, we thank you for giving us what the world pretends to have. Thank you for giving us something real. Help us to choose you instead of financial security or the peacemakers of soldiers or the meditation or whatever the world offers. Help us to choose Jesus as our peace. We need your help in that, Father. We trust you and we praise your name as we watch you roll up your sleeves in Snyder, Texas. In the name of Jesus,